Hey everybody, welcome back to another season of Being Unapologetically Authentic with your host Jean Tian. That's me. In this season, we are exploring the intersectionality of authenticity with an ethnic flair and success. I am so excited to be able to provide this platform to bring on the voices of Asian Americans, particularly Asian American females, so that they can share their stories of how they have overcome social and cultural conditioning, as well as their own personal stories in order to find their own success. This is a super powerful season. I cannot wait for you guys to hear their stories. I am breaking down cultural norms for you. Let's get started.
Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 3 of the Being Unapologetically Authentic podcast. And I'm so excited to have you guys back and join me for a special episode with my guest today, Lynn Lee. Lynn serves as a guide and teacher at the Modern Mystery School, which is the lineage of King Solomon. From a disconnected, stressed out, to a fulfilled life, Lynn supports other motivated clients to love themselves, live a purpose-driven life, and create loving relationships. You won't want to miss this episode as Lynn shares with us more about her childhood, how she came to where she is today, as well as how the power of choice was a life changer for her. Let's get started, guys.
So I am so excited to have Lynn in this episode of the conversation because she is talking about the power behind choice. And I think we're going to have such a great conversation because I also agree that choice is really a superpower that we don't get to utilize all that often. And so I can't wait for her to be able to share her story with us and hopefully for you guys to take away something that you can utilize in your life as well. So Ling, if you don't mind just sharing a little bit about your background with us.
Hi, thank you so much, Jen, for having me on the podcast. And hi, everyone who's watching and listening. I am Ling Lei. I am a certified spiritual guide, life activation practitioner, as well as a teacher in the Modern Mystery School in the lineage of King Solomon. And my mission is to help people live, know who they are better, understand and start fulfilling their purpose, and do so from a place of joy and awe and hope for a better world. Ultimately, my mission is to, together with so many other people, to build world peace, which I think is something that we all desire.
Yeah, and it's something that's so necessary these days, right? Just given the events, the world events over the past, I would say like at least 3 years, things just have shifted so much. So I think we're all desiring a bit of world peace in our lives these days. So I'd love to hear a bit about, so let me take a step back. This season is really about amplifying Asian American voices, especially Asian American women voices, because I know that my ethnicity as well as my gender has impacted a lot of the choices and the decisions that were that I thought were available to me and that have molded and shaped who I am today. And so this is why I'm so excited to have you on, because I'd love for you to be able to share your story as well, right? Being an Asian American female growing up, what was that like for you? Did you have a very, you know, typical childhood in the sense that life was kind of already planned out for you in terms of where you needed to go, the good grades, et cetera. And then what I'd also love to know is how did you get to this point where you realized that you did have a choice?
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jen. That's such an awesome question. So I was born and raised in Vietnam and I left for the States when I was 16, all on my own. So my childhood was, I guess, you know, it really depends on how you look at it, you know. From the outside, I looked very sheltered. You know, I had a good life. I had supposedly like good family life growing up. Everything was, you know, everything physical, right, was in a way provided for. I had clothes. You know, I always had food on the table. Never had to worry about, you know, helping my parents pay rent, that kind of thing. But inside, like within the family unit, like there was just a lot of disharmony, just a lot of, you know, what I used to say unhappiness, but just a lot of this, honestly, misery. And I was very, very sensitive to that, even though nobody said anything, like, especially when you're a little kid, like, you know, people try not to worry you, but I could sense, you know, how my parents weren't happy. I could, and I just looked at, you know, my family, but also other families, and this something wasn't right, you know, like where I felt, well, people would go to work, go home, you know, maybe like cook or eat dinner, watch TV. Nowadays, binge Netflix, right? Same thing. And then go to bed and, you know, try and like think, talk about paying bills. So all these things that I guess like this hospital was surviving, but I've always felt like something was missing. I just couldn't, like, my little brain couldn't understand why I would be born here, you know, to suffer, because that's all that I could see, you know, suffering. You know, just people not living to their full potential. And so that was really hard for me to grow, like growing up, and also emotionally and mentally, I didn't really have like a stable figure in my life to kind of guide me through this thought. So I mostly just kept pretty much everything to myself. And also just had like, you know, traumas when I was little that just taught me that I, you know, I was not safe in the world. That, you know, like the world is out to get me, and I had nobody. I just felt completely alone for the most part of my childhood, really. Yeah, so that's where I was. And I was, you know, I left for the US when I was 16. And yeah, I'm really, really grateful for my parents, you know, for providing me that opportunity. Because even though I would say, you know, they definitely were a little bit more traditional, you know, like they, you know, like, again, like what I was saying, because I feel like whatever I share is very common in Asian household. There's that, you know, expectation of certain things to do. But at the same time, I've always been very rebellious. Again, you know, when you have that thought in your mind, then, yeah, you know, you have to do something about it. And so I'm really grateful that they let me leave home at 16. And, you know, even I think back in the day in Vietnam, you know, there's the ideology that if you let your child leave the nest too early, you'll lose them, you know. So I do think they were brave to do that. But I also think it's just part of my mission to be in the US and, you know, to eventually find a mission school. So they helped me to do that.
That's amazing. And so what motivated you, or what brought on the desire to leave Vietnam to come to the US? Was it for school, or was it just for a different life?
So, you know, so it's funny. So when we're talking about choices, right, I think there's always an external view and also the internal view. So externally, yes, it's for studying, right? It's the, you know, it's for better opportunities, which I think that's from my parents' perspective. Like they were, you know, because being in Vietnam, you know, is hard, you know, it's like, at least it was, you know, it was very like cutthroat, you know, like, especially if you've been in like a developing country, you know, you can't trust anybody, you know, that's how he was raised, that like you always have to like worry for yourself first thing kind of thing, because there's just like a lot of chaos. And so my parents, you know, out of love, they sent me to a place where, you know, we shouldn't have to really like worry so much for our survival, you know. And I really love that I really love America, you know, compared, you know, to how I grew up. Like, yeah, of course, you know, there's everybody, you know, any country can do better, but, you know, like here, there are just that trust in humans, you know, that, like, that you really don't find, at least, you know, where I was. And I came from like middle class, so like good background. Yeah, so externally, that's the reason, but internally, honestly, I wanted to run away.
Wow, you know, that's so powerful. Yeah,
it was hard to be there. I wanted to run away, but also again, you know, now that I think back, I think it's just part of like that. Just I just needed to be here in the U.S. You know, went to college, you know, start working, and eventually to find my spiritual path.
I love that, and I also love the fact that you had mentioned in terms of your life in Vietnam too, is that there was a lot of disharmony, but everybody pretended that it didn't exist. And I think that that is so common in many households, but I think particularly in Asian households. And so I think that, you know, growing up seeing this, because for me, that's what I had seen as well, although I don't think my parents pretended as much, but I think there is this common theme of, let's just not have it exist. Like, yeah. It doesn't exist, right? And we also don't talk about it externally. So I think the choice to come and talk about it is super powerful, because it breaks us out of the societal and cultural conditioning that we've been raised with, right? And so I wanted just to applaud you for coming out and for sharing, because that is something that I think not too many of us talk about, but I think more of us should talk about. And I think the more that we talk about it, I think the more that we can normalize the fact that not everything is perfect. And growing up, I don't know about you, but growing up, I felt there was a need to be perfect. And so, you know, if we can normalize imperfection, I think we can avoid some of the trauma that, you know, comes with the upbringing of, you know, being Asian.
Yeah, and you're totally, and you brought up perfectionism. Of course, you know, like anybody, right, would have, that can feel that pressure. But I do notice in myself, in others, Asians, but also I actually have gotten a comment from somebody who's not Asian, somebody who worked closely with me as a spiritual guide in the mystery school. She meant, because she was a teacher to elementary school students. She said, she mentioned that she noticed that the Vietnamese kids would be so hard on themselves, where like they would be writing like perfect, you know, letters, and they would still, you know, like just not be satisfied about it. And it's heartbreaking, you know, like to think of the kids doing that, but also remembering that, I'm sure you did too, like remembering that I myself used to do that so much, where we just kind of self-police what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to say, what we're supposed to think. You know, there just used to be so much shame and guilt. And yeah, like a lot of like needing to pretend. And I remember as a kid, I didn't understand why, you know, if this is a hair tie, right? And if it's pink, why can't I tell others like outside that it's pink? You know, so like just having to hide that misery. Yeah. But actually also at the same time, like I, you know, when I went to college, you know, we got free mental like counseling. I went to counseling, you know, whenever I could, learning to talk it out, and I tried out. And also did a little bit therapy after I got out of college. At some point, it was no longer useful for me because I just couldn't stand talking so much. You know, one thing led to another. That's how I found my spiritual path, because I felt it's like, you know, more like it's more practical, and also it gets results. You know, so yeah, I never had that. I had the background, but also didn't have that much fear to not talk about it.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so funny because therapy in the Asian culture is like a big taboo. Like nobody really goes to therapy. Yes, you can't talk about it, because like then it's airing the dirty laundry. So I think it's so amazing that you are so self-aware that you realize that, you know, it's helpful to go, you realize there's something internally that's bothering you, and then that, you know, it was good to go and talk to somebody else about it. So today then, what drives the choices that you make in your life?
Today, it's the understanding, and you know, I've come a long way, you know, so just for, I guess, for the listeners, right, if you feel like you're not here, like, don't beat yourself up about it, because I know, like, if 5 years ago, if I listened to this, I would. Today, some of the things that drive me, my choices, one is understanding that, first of all, I love myself, right? So if I love myself, what does it mean? You know, not eating better, you know, all the basic things that we all know, eating better, exercises more, meditate more, doing all this healing work. So one is I love myself, and also the understanding that when I am better, I can help other better. I can help others better. I can help more people also find joy, also find that innate confidence in understanding who I am as a divine being. And also, so that's two. And then, you know, the I would say the three, like a bit higher is that remembering of the mission, you know, like that where I'm not here just to be like a, you know, normal, I don't know, office desk worker, whatever, but like I'm here to help, you know, to and which all of us, we can all be like this, you know, we can all, and I'm here to help make this world a better place, you know, so I'm here to help create like a different structure, a different system, a different, like different kind of relationship where we relate to one another, not from like, again, that place of like, I have to protect myself because I don't trust you, but really from, you know, like God to goddess or God to God, you know, with confidence to confidence. Yeah, more harmony and peace.
I love that. And then, so what has becoming spiritual really done for you, right? And then also, how did your family, like, do they know that you've become a teacher at the, I think it's called the Modern Mystery School, right? Or, yeah, sorry. And so, like, how did they respond to these choices that you have made, and how has that impacted your life?
Can you remind me the first question again?
Yeah. Oh, so, how has becoming spiritual changed your life? Because that is a very alternative, quote unquote, alternative choice our culture, right? I think it's becoming more popular these days, but I don't think it's the traditional path that Asians take.
Well, you got to think, what do you mean by traditional though? Because traditionally the East is a mystic.
Yep.
Right. So
I love that you brought that up.
Actually holds the mystic energy, like the spiritual, you know, that's why you see the stereotypical image, you know, like the bomb, things like that. So traditionally we are the one that holds, I mean, again, everybody can be spiritual, but we hold certain energy. Yeah. I definitely think like I grew up in a non, like not very spiritual world. Like, you know, we do celebrate our ancestor, but that's pretty much it. Right. And I don't know, Jin, if like you do anything else. So I was an atheist for most of my life because I couldn't understand why, if there was a God or multiple God, I didn't understand why the world was so bad. Why would, if there such exists a powerful being, you know, why the world was so bad? And, you know, being spiritual helped me realize that, you know, God or, you know, creator, divine, whatever word source you want to use, like that higher power, that higher strength is within all of us. So if there is a problem, right, it's not about, oh my gosh, please, right? It's about us acting as the creator of our life and to fix it, to make that happen. And so the reason the world is so bad is because we've made it so bad. And that understanding really helped me with tons of, you know, traumas in my life where I felt I was alone, blah, 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 right? So it helped me with that. And also it kind of verifying that, you know, and I think this is something I want to tell maybe like Asian women, right? Because this is the target for this interview is, you know, even though you may feel like you don't have a voice, or even though you may feel like there's just a lot of like, you know, rules you can't, you have to follow, but I know, especially for you, that you have that little voices within your heart that say something different. You know, so I would just want to encourage you to listen to that voice, because that's what I did. I just had that voice that, okay, there has to be something more than this. And so spirituality is the thing that, you know, for me is the answer. And it's not just spirituality. It's like ancient spirituality that has been practiced for thousands and thousands of years that has given, you know, like tremendous result in my life and others. So that's the kind of help fill that gap, because I don't think I would have been satisfied if it's just, you know, my physical body, you know, working in my career, things like that. And to answer your next question, yes, my family knows what I do. Admittedly, I learned, like, you know, I feel like I left Vietnam at a quite a developmental place in my life, in my, you know, my the developmental age. So I'm still having trouble talking about spirituality in Vietnamese. It's just because I don't know the words. So I mean, trying slowly to like join some Vietnamese spirituality group just to understand the lingo and, you know, how they think. But I do, like, I'm, you know, trying my best to kind of explain to my parents what they do, what I do and things like that. And they see the result, you know, they see how, like, that's used to not have makeup, nothing, like nothing on, you know, so they see it. And they actually have all received certain works, which is, so there's a session called Life Activation Session. that activate your DNA and activate your potentials to like your different gifts and talents. And they, all of my family members has received it.
Okay.
And of course, you know, like that's me living in integrity. If I like something, I share it with my family. So, you know, that it's something that is good.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you shared the gifts that you have received with your family by giving them the books so that they can, if they choose to, follow through with it as well.
It's not a book. So I gave them a session.
Oh, a session. Okay.
Yeah, awesome. So yeah, that session kind of opens up different opportunities.
Very cool.
And, you know, and I could kind of watch from, observe from, you know, from afar. It may not be like always smooth sailing, but, you know, opportunity that they can take to live differently. Yeah.
And life won't be smooth sailings, right? Like that's what makes life life. And so I love the fact that they have all of these new opportunities opening up and that you're sharing it with them. So share with me, Ling, in terms of if somebody were to come to you and say, well, let me reframe that question, because it's more about what do most people come to you with? What are the issues, I'll call it, although they're never really issues, but what is driving them to come to you and how do you help them and support them?
That's a good question. Thank you, Jin. I would say, you know, most people come to me, you know, sometimes for physical problems, because physical illnesses are a manifestation of emotional or mental issues or spiritual. Sometimes, but most of the time, it's honestly because they were fed up with their life, you know, like with, again, that cycle of, you know, adulting, really, that's what we call it, right? Where you have to, you know, go to work, all that stuff, that cycle, and they feel trapped, and maybe a lot of them feel, you know, like may have weak boundaries, and they don't know, okay, how can I establish stronger boundaries, and they may not realize that, but like during our consultation, which is like, I give like a free 60-minute consultation just to get to know them, you know, it usually comes out where, oh, you know, I don't have strong enough boundaries, so I feel drained, or I feel I can't speak up to others, which is very, very common, especially in women, but honestly, everybody, you know, I don't know how to speak up for myself. And also ultimately, you know, either right away or after a couple of sessions, it's always about, okay, now I want to figure out my, and I'm paraphrasing because everyone has used these different words and sometimes it's not the same, but now I want to know my purpose. Now I want to figure out my purpose. You know, yeah, I have people coming in like, oh, when, you know, I want to figure it out. Or, you know, sometime like after a year, you know, we just talking to a client yesterday, a year after his life activation, and now he's like, okay, you know, I want to figure out what's next, you know, like how I can do and to like, you know, to do good, you know. So it's always coming from that desire to contribute, to make a good impact, either to the world and or to their family, which is definitely has been a theme.
I love that. And, you know, I think one of the things that I think is a big misconception about purpose too, is that it has to be big, right? Like meaning like you have to be like Gandhi-like purpose and it doesn't always have to be that big. So the fact that they can come in and realize that their purpose may be just specific to their family or could be specific to something that's personal to them, I think is awesome, because then it takes away this, because I think people get into like analysis paralysis with purpose. It's like, oh my gosh, but is it big enough? Or, oh my gosh, is it like, you know, is this really it? But if you feel that that's what it is, and it may not be quote unquote big enough, via the perspective of the outside world, it doesn't really matter, right? It's still your choice, still the decision that you have in order to move forward with that purpose. So I love the fact that you help them to see that too.
Yeah. And another thing about purpose too, which I also like another myth, let's debunk the myth, is that, you know, people think, you know, that, oh, I want to figure out my purpose and follow it. Like, it's like, I want to know it all in one go and then figure it and then fulfill it. But I'll tell you this, you know, I've worked on this for years. And what I find is that, you know, you'll get like this glimpse or this like flashes of inspiration. Oh, let me try to do that. And then as I do that, I'm like, oh, I can try to do that. You know, so as I kind of move forward on the path of progression in the mystery school, my purpose gets highlighted, like, you know, more like this, more open up, right? So you can start, you know, like, yeah, like people can start with just their family, things like that. Just like whatever they think is what they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. But the important piece is that you take action and you, you know, follow through, you fulfill it. And I can almost guarantee that
the next,
you
know, step. Like
the next step's going to open up. Or what can happen is the next step doesn't open up, right? So you kind of hit the ceiling, then you're going to ask yourself, okay, what's more? And that also can be, you know, when the path of progression in the mystery school opens up, because then it can lead you, like, they will never be an end to your purpose. Yeah. And that's the fun of it.
Yeah.
To me.
I totally agree. Yeah. It's a little frustrating sometimes that you can't, I think as humans, we tend to want like all the information. Yeah. And then like, you know, like boom, boom, boom. Okay. Now we're done. Now what? But like in real life, it just doesn't happen that way. Right.
No.
So yeah. So that is, and I think, you know, and I think part of that too, like I think all humans tend to do that, but I think even, I don't know if it's particularly in the Asian culture, but very much so in the Asian culture, we're very much task oriented, right? Like, okay, we do this, we move on to the next thing. We do this, we move on to the next thing. So that's been something that I've had to step back and like kind of reevaluate. Like, it's never really about the completion of the task, although there are certain things we do about consistency and discipline, et cetera. But there is just, it's never going to be as simple or as linear as like 1, 2, 3, and then we move forward. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, and then we move forward. Cause it could be 1 and then 3 may come next. And then 2 then can come next. And then, you know, the circle, you know, may be completed at that point and we move on to another one. So yeah, it's, there's just so much, I think, misconception out there in terms of like what this whole process looks like or supposed to look like.
And I will say though, like you say that like task-oriented ability, that is a gift, you know? So that is, you know, like some people may see it as like, you know, a curse or whatever, but like that's a gift because, you know, yeah, we, you know, like you said, we need to learn to be more flexible, but in that moment, let's say, you know, instead of going, we need to learn to go from A maybe to like, you know, A++, right? Mm-hmm. But in like within A, for example, right? We can use that task-oriented ability to get things done, mm-hmm. and then still be flexible with, you know, the way the world works or the way, yeah. you know, like your mission goes, things like that. So yeah. I really enjoy the fact that
I can be
focused with my task. But, yep. you know, but again, what is your strength versus what is your weakness? If your strength is being focused, then you may have to learn to be flexible and still be focused. Right. At the same time. Yeah.
It's allowing flow. I love that. And I love that different perspective. So thank you for sharing that, Ling. So where can the audience find more information about the work that you do, about the DNA activation, which just sounds so cool? How do they get in touch with you?
Yes. So I am based in San Francisco and I see clients, you know, in San Francisco Bay Area. You know, I've had people like come in 2 hours to see me, but also just, you know, in the city, right? So it depends. And then I travel to Toronto a few times a year. So definitely also open to doing sessions there too when I'm there. And most of the sessions, so I offer different private sessions as well as classes. Some of the big thing, like the common thing is life activation session, which we talk about activate 22 strands of your DNA and activates your unique, like maybe hidden gifts or talents, but also it heals certain ancestral patterns, which is what attracted me in the first place. And then there's also the Empower Thyself class, which is a 2-day class workshop that also is in person, where, you know, the students will receive a lot of different teachings and rituals about, you know, how to use your about who you are, and also about like how to use your unique gifts to kind of, you know, navigate this world and to to find joy and purpose through life, really, and also to have stronger boundaries, which is really important.
That's great. And do you have a workshop coming up that you want to share about or not yet?
Yes, I do. So let me see, I'm not sure when this is going to be released, but I am running a 4-week series called Reconnect Cultivating Self-Trust, where I will be teaching different meditations. So there'll be like max meditation system on one Sunday, And then sanctuary meditation system on the other Sunday, where you learn to different tool, the tool to connect to your higher self, and then spiritual intuition on the next Sunday, to cultivate your intuitive ability. And it's going to be September 18th, the Sunday, and the next Sunday, the next Sunday, the next Sunday. and then also I have Empower Yourself coming up, I think in December or January of 2023. Yeah.
Very cool. And then where can they go? Is there a website that they can go to learn more?
Yeah, I'm at Magic with a K, so M-A-G-I-C-K of O-F, Choice, C-H-O-I-C-E.com. And you know, you can get in touch with me there. I offer a 60-minute free consultation via Zoom. So, you know, we can just chat more about, I love to talk to understand where people, like people's story, where they at, so that I can offer, you know, really useful insights. And usually we start, you know, if you want to work with me, we start with a life activation session, and then we can just move on, you know, depending on their needs. Yeah.
Awesome. And so one last question, since this podcast, we look at the intersectionality of authenticity, which we've done so much already, with success. I'd love to ask you, how do you define success?
For me, success is, for me, success is to be able to do what I love with the people that I love. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. So to have the amazing people in my life, and to do what really fills me with joy. It's not always easy, but it fills me with joy and with passion. And, you know, like, that's how I can talk about it authentically, because I'm not faking it. That to me is success. Like living, you know, showing up as who I am without having to hide any parts of myself. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you, Ling, so much for sharing so much of you with us today. It was such a powerful story, and I'm sure the audience benefited so much from learning more about you, the choices, how powerful they are, and also about how successful they can be. So thank you again for joining us, and we will see you guys next time. Welcome back to another episode of the Being Unapologetically Authentic podcast with your host, myself, Jean Tien, and my special guest today.